This is Roger Bennett of Men in Blazers.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless.
You're listening to the Mouths of the South podcast.
Mouths of the South podcast, right here on Dirty South Soccer.
Rock on.
Eat it up.
This is the Mouths of the South podcast.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
The official Dirty South Soccer podcast.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Talking all things Atlanta United FC.
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
We are
the Mouths of the South.
The South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah, we are back. Another exciting edition of the Mouths of the South podcast for DirtySouthSoccer.com. Atlanta United's unofficial home on SB Nation. Well, I guess we're the official home on SB Nation, the unofficial
home.
There
you go.
Sam Franco, Eric Quintana with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We are very glad to have you. Don't forget all of our spots on the interwebs. Of course, DirtySouthSoccer.com, the website. You can follow on Twitter at DirtySouthSock. You can also follow us at MOTS Podcast. You can follow myself individually on Twitter, shameless plug there, Sam J. Franco. You can also follow Eric at EricQuintana47. Now that I've got all that stuff out of the way, Eric, great to be talking with you again. How you doing, bud?
Pretty good, and actually was happy to actually finally meet you in person. We were at the Boxing Day event held at Brewhouse Cafe over in Little Five.
And, that is correct. That is correct. I was nursing a pretty bad Christmas hangover.
So was I. But you know what? I you have to go out for the cause, you know?
Oh, no doubt about it. And it is a great cause, you know, with Atlanta United just getting involved in the community. And we'll get into this a little later on in the show, but actually having a pretty cool chance to chat with Darren Eels for a little bit. Just a little kind of off the radar chat that you and I had with him. So some of that stuff off the record, obviously, but we will share what we can from that chat. So it was really cool to get to meet him and Boca, and really cool to just kind of hit the brew house again. You know, living in Athens, I haven't been to the brew house in a while. We used to go there. You know, I went to high school about, you know, 2 miles down the road. Just shoot down Moreland till it becomes Briarcliff, and then you're in the Druid Hills area. So we used to hit the Brewhouse up a lot for Champions League games and things like that. So it was pretty cool to get back there. Actually ran into a couple of friends from high school while we were there that on Boxing Day. So just a really cool kind of Atlanta soccer staple. And now that we're actually going to have a professional team, you know, I know we have the Silverbacks, but you know, and top tier league professional team, a place like the Brewhouse that got in on the ground floor early has got to be reaping the benefits.
And I mean, that was an event that was just kind of a perfect spot for you to go meet other Atlanta United fans, because you don't notice how many there are until you all get in one place or you all start talking on the same forums. So this is one of those great opportunities to go meet other Atlanta United fans who are going to be just as passionate about Atlanta United as they are about, you know, their English Premier League team. So you want to get into that kind of environment now, and you completely missed out on a awesome Boxing Day scarf. You can't get a better scarf for $10. That's all I'm going to say.
No, it's exactly right. I actually bought a couple for some friends and such, just because, you know, it's such a reasonable price for something like that. So it was definitely cool to get that. Definitely cool to be around the all those Atlanta United fans, and you know, we still have a lot of mystery surrounding the team, what's going to happen with some hires and things like that. But you know, it's just very exciting, and you can just feel that buzz when you're hanging around Atlanta United folks. There's unknown, but there's also a lot of hope and a lot of optimism. So that is definitely something we'll look forward to. Unfortunately, hope and optimism in the form of some of the players Atlanta United may have been talking about signing, or you know, just that fans would love to see. The young Mexican player Fabian is headed to is it Germany, I believe. So
yes.
There's one rumor right off the bat that got taken away. Also, learning today/yesterday that Jordan Morris will go ahead and go pro, and he's not going to play at Stanford next year. So he'll be going to either Seattle if he stays in the MLS, or I believe he's training with Werder Bremen right now as we
today,
speak.
Yeah.
So Look, I think I posted on Twitter when I saw that. I would love, 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 love for him to go to a team like Werder Bremen and really get that seasoning. You know, obviously, Landon Donovan went over there young, and we all know the issues with Landon Donovan. His personality just a little different than some other high profile athletes. You know, I think he was always just a SoCal boy, man. You know, he just loved being in the United States and loved being home. So
I'm very much
just a different personality. But Jordan Morris, you would like to think could go over there and really be successful and learn in one of the best developmental leagues there is.
I was going to say, I'm very much torn because the U.S. men's national team side of me wants him to go overseas and train with, you know, some of the best over in Europe. And yet the selfish MLS side of me who wants to see him play definitely wants him to play with Seattle and see him, you know, grow from within the U.S. soccer system. But we'll see what happens in the next couple of days. It looks like from most of the reports that he's probably going to stay in Seattle, but I mean, by the time you hear this, the decision might already be made.
Yeah, that's very true. And I'm just going to say it, but if he can go to the Bundesliga, please do that. Because like you said, the U.S. men's national team side of us, you really want to see these players develop at the best possible level. And quite frankly, MLS and developmental academies in MLS, for the most part, just aren't there yet. Yeah. You know, I know Seattle and teams like that are really good. But when you go over to just one of the most finely tuned leagues, especially for attacking players, you know, Germany, say what you will about the defenses over there, they definitely like to score a lot of goals and have a lot of offensive football in Germany. And for a player like Jordan Morris to go over there and learn that, I think would only benefit him. So that's where I am at this point. I know that as an MLS blog or MLS podcast or MLS-based podcast, we want to be supportive of the league, but at the same time, for a young talent that's already shown on the international stage that he can really go, it's just MLS just isn't there yet compared to the Bundesliga. So it's just a better opportunity if he can get it. So if that's where that goes, that's fine with me. But also if he stays in Seattle, that's fine because it's easier to watch.
Well, here's another angle I was going to put out there. If he went to Germany and maybe didn't do as well as he expected, I wonder what the process is to get back. I'm sure he's still under that Seattle umbrella.
Right.
But I don't think it's the same. It works the same way. I forget. There's so many different rules in MLS when it comes to grabbing a player that I forget exactly what it would fall under. So I'd have to research it. But I do wonder if that, because if he's not going to play for Atlanta United, then go play in Germany. But if he's going to play in MLS, come play for us.
No, I totally agree with the homerish nature of your statement, for sure. Jordan Morris would be more than welcome in Atlanta. But we'll get back to more of this kind of talk in a little bit. We did want to wrap the year that was 2015, a very good year for Atlanta United, making hires, unveiling a logo, and just kind of developing. As I told you off air or off the podcast before we started, 2015 was a great year for Atlanta United, establishing a brand and setting up an identity. 2016 is going to be all about laying the foundation to make that brand a successful brand. And there's so many hires left to be made. In fact, Academy Director looks like it's going to be the next big one. And when I say big one, that is a huge hire.
That might be definitely one of the more important ones.
Oh, for sure. You have to hire the right people, especially in something like this, just because you've got to have someone with the vision. You know, you have to – and this is where Carlos Bocanegra's played in different leagues will definitely help him, because he's been around a bunch of different ways to set this kind of thing up. So I think when you're making this hire, you've got to establish – this is the hire that will establish what philosophy your team's going to have, you know, what types of players do you want to nurture? Are you going to play a specific brand or type of soccer? I know that obviously that will be dependent on the coach, but still, as an organization on the whole, you can have sort of a philosophy. For example, just relating it back to some of the European leagues, there are teams that are very defensive. You know, there are leagues and styles that are very defensive. Look at Italian soccer compared to Spanish soccer compared to German soccer. Like we were talking about with German soccer earlier, very attacking, very foot on the gas style. And then you can go to Italy, where it's much more technical. Some would say plodding. I don't want to sound like I'm criticizing, but that's where I'll go with that. And then you know, the Spanish league, also with a little bit kind of in the middle of the German and Italian leagues in terms of the way that they play. So right. I think just as a philosophy, this hire is going to be very important because it's going to establish what your identity on the field is going to be.
And you also, I mean, you wonder what kind of history he has at the academy level, how successful he's already been, what kind of experience he has, who he's worked with in the past, what connection he has to MLS. And, you know, again, the kids that he sent off to, you know, play professionally, or the successes he's had within those academy programs. So it'll be, I'm sure, Doug Robertson came out with an article, Doug Robertson of the AJC, who we actually had on. Not too long ago. I was trying to find the article, and I couldn't really find it. But I spoke with Darren Eales about the academy coach and what kind of things he's looking for in that person. So if you go read that article, because he mentions, you know, basically what I just said, some of those things, the history, the experience, his successes, someone that has, you know, kind of his foot already in the ground in you know, in the academy program. So it'll be something that you know, that we can look forward to in the next, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. More, I'm hoping more in the next couple of days. That way we have something more to talk about.
Exactly, but you know, that's a future hire. We'll get back to 2015 here and talk about the hires that were made. You know, we've mentioned all of the names already. Darren Eales, I think so far that is proving to have been a very good hire. He's been very out front and very good in the tasks he's been given so far. Still a lot more to do and a long way to go, but I think, you know, you got to give him a pretty solid grade so far for being that ambassador for Atlanta United. And Carlos Bocanegra hasn't been as much out front in the media as Darren Eales has been, so I don't think you know as much about what he's done, but I think the signs are there so far that those two are working very well in tandem with each other. And then on the kind of, you know, marketing side of things and the getting the name out there, I think Ann Rodriguez, just based on the way that Atlanta United has done things in the media so far around the city of Atlanta and things of that nature, I think that she's also done a very good job. So far, so good, I think, on the hires fronts. I think these are things that we won't know too much about until, honestly, until the team gets established. But
right.
For now, I think we can say thumbs up all the way around.
I think one of the things that you might see Darren Eales in the media just because of the position he holds within the club, you do see Carlos and Ann just out on Twitter. Yeah, you know, you see them at things like the Father Christmas Cup, which right. was in attendance by basically the entire front staff, I guess, that they have now. And, you know, you've seen Ann Rodriguez at the UGA game. You've seen them out doing these things, getting involved in the community, and that's a big part of what Atlanta United wants to do, is to really expand the sport of soccer within Georgia and in Metro Atlanta. And they're, as of right now, they've done so well. They've done such a great job of getting involved in the community and letting Atlanta United be known within Metro Atlanta, within Georgia.
Of course. And you know, obviously, those hires were the ones that needed to be made first, and like we said, we think so far so good. And what you were saying about Bocanegra and Eales, you're right. Eales' job probably requires him to be out front a little more, just as that kind of brand ambassador, like I was saying. So yeah, I totally agree. It wasn't a knock on Bocanegra.
Oh no.
I mean, it was just the fact that yeah, I think we've seen Eales a little more, and I think that's just one of the conditions of his job. So along with the hires, obviously, we had some big moments in 2015. The logo unveil was such a well-run event, catered really well. You know, obviously, that's something that is inconsequential, but it's important to, you know, the season ticket base and stuff. You want to have events that are just top to bottom really nice to go to, and that Atlanta United logo unveil certainly was. And you know, the roof came off that place, although most of the people were standing outside. But for the people that were inside, the roof came off the place when that logo was unveiled. Man, I know people will have their opinions, and that's fine. My opinion, that logo is sharp.
I think if you still have a a difference of opinion on the logo or the name, you're just letting this stuff get to you too much because
you're crabby, man. You just
exactly.
Crabby.
It's. I remember saying this a while ago. To me, it never really mattered what the name was. I just was happy that we had a team. I'm happy we had a local club to root for, and the name was never really going to be anything that decided whether I was going to like the team or not. Same with the logo. And so I am very much in agreement with you. I love it. I love that it's different from anything in MLS. While the name might not be different, it's going to mean something to us. It's not going to be the same as a DC United or Minnesota United or anything like that. It's going to be unique to us. Whether those that differ in opinion, believe it or not, it's going to be something, again, very unique to us. And I remember hearing it. I just remember thinking, oh, where was it? The Soho Lounge? Was that where it was?
Is that what it was called? There was like eight different names.
Oh,
for it,
I forget,
like,
what it was called.
I remember trying to check into it on like Swarm or Foursquare or whatever. And like it was the old name, and like it hadn't. I think Soho Lounge is what it was called now, but it used to be called something else. So I guess it was a. I think we'll just go with Soho.
Right. I remember being so excited, and I was there in a reporter's capacity. I wasn't there supposed to be a fan, but at the same time, it was overcoming the amount of emotions that and excitement that I felt on that day, to see someone like Ludacris out there supporting, you know, the future team, to see Don Garber there,
right,
to see some other local celebrities there.
DJ Shockley.
Yeah, exactly. It made you feel like that this was going to be something very, very Atlanta. And,
oh,
and it made you feel good.
It really did. And I think the transition from MLS Atlanta 2017 to Atlanta United FC that night, that's where it happened. That's where we took those really weird off orange scarves that they had in the beginning, and we put that underground and busted out the hoops, the red and black hoops with the bold A. So yeah, you know, that like I said, that's where our identity was formed. We are Atlanta United FC, and you know, if you don't like it, well, tough. Sorry, that's not changing. So
that's on you at this point. That's not the team's fault. That's on you. You
exactly.
Just you've let it get to you too much. The name is great. The logo is great. The team's going to be great.
Exactly. Power of positivity.
Exactly.
As we like to put forth here on the Mouths of the South podcast. So that was obviously awesome. Just some other things that happened throughout that. Just starting to get some names, even if they're not ever going to play for Atlanta United. Just starting to see some names. You know, the Carlos Vela one, obviously an exciting name to see. Just because of his prominence. You know, he's played in big clubs. He's played at Arsenal, done very well at the various spots he's been at. So just to kind of get some names, even Wayne Rooney thrown out there, you know, just on a whim, you know, you see some random reports say, hey, Wayne Rooney could play at Atlanta United. It's like, let's pump the brakes there. But still, it's cool to be doing this. And, I mean, in 2016, it's going to get even better with that because it's actually going to become more concrete.
I remember the Wayne Rooney like it was yesterday because it was, I guess, the article that got me onto Dirty South Soccer because I think it was, I don't know who it was for at the time, Dirty South Soccer, before we were with SB Nation, had written something saying he was coming, and it was based off a series of tweets, and I forget exactly who it was that tweeted it, but I basically wrote a very long, very entertaining rebuttal article. Our fearless leader, Rob, saw it, and that is how I became associated with Dirty South Soccer, which has been nothing short of just awesome for the past 6 months or so.
I love the fact that we dropped a backstory. That's something we haven't heard yet. We've done we've almost done 10 episodes, maybe
exactly.
More of this show.
Matt, you're starting to find out a little bit about the people behind the curtain or behind
behind
the audio waves.
Cool. Although it's probably pretty sad. I don't know exactly how many of these shows we've done. To be fair, not all of us have been on every show. So
I believe this will be our 13th, possibly
okay.
Our 14th, depending on how you count one of those special interview episodes. I'm not exactly sure yet, but
yeah, I don't know why we did it like that. We should have just done everyone with
exactly,
a number.
Yeah.
You know, you live and you learn in this business. So hey, you know, for now we'll go with 13. If it's 14, great, fantastic. So we'll go with that. But yeah, I mean, you know, just player names in general, man, that is always going to excite people, especially when you're forming a team and really, again, starting to build that brand. And obviously one of the biggest parts of the brand of a soccer team is the players. So when you actually start to sign a player here and there and, you know, get the coach in as well. I mean, all this stuff is going to start happening very quickly. I think right now, you know, it's the beginning of January, so we're waiting for all these things to happen. Obviously, there's still a long time to go in 2016, but trust me, when one domino falls, especially when you're getting this close, there's only one more MLS season before we have a season with Atlanta United. So you just gotta hold on tight, because things are going to start falling very quickly. As I said, that first domino falls and boom, it'll be a race.
Hey, I mean, these names are only going to start sprouting out more often. They've come out and said that they're not going to hire, or they're not going to, I don't think they're going to sign anyone until they get a coach, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe after the European leagues end, we start hearing more rumors, some more names that we thought maybe that was kind of out of left field. And then ultimately we're going to hire a coach, and that's going to be one of the, that'll be probably one of the biggest days at in Atlanta United history, just because that'll set the tone, I guess, for the longevity of the franchise.
Well, it's what I was talking about with the hiring of an academy director. It's the same. It's obviously the same thing with a coach. That's going to establish what you want to be on the field. You know, what type of game you're going to play, what type of players you want in your system. So yeah, that is definitely a huge day. It's basically altering or starting the direction of your team. So of course that's going to be big. And all I'm going to say is that there will be some pretty good coaches, you know, out there on the market if they need it. I mean Jose Mourinho is going to be out there. I'll assume Louis van Gaal is going to be out there. So, you know, you got a lot of coaches with a lot of experience. Pep Guardiola, you know, he said he's going to the Premier League, but hey, maybe he could be swayed by the really cool nature of going out in Midtown on a Wednesday night. You know, you never know.
Start making phone calls, Darnell. Start making some phone calls.
Exactly. So looking forward to just continuing on that path as well. Before we kind of jump forward, I guess, into 2016, I did want to just kind of do a quick little thing here. We'll do best and worst moments in 2015 for soccer. We can go maybe specifically Atlanta United, and we can do world. So I'll start us off. I think the worst moment that happened in 2016 or 2015, excuse me, it's already becoming a jumble. The worst moment was when Sepp Blatter tried to blame his situation on the U.S. not getting the World Cup. He was like, hey, man, you know, I wouldn't be banned by FIFA. I wouldn't be going to jail if it wasn't for the United States not getting the 2022 World Cup. It's like, dude, you put yourself in that situation anyway when you gave it to Qatar, and then that's what opened you up to, you know, all these investigations. I mean, it doesn't help when you have human rights violations going left and right. And the worst moment ends up also being the best moment, and Loretta Lynch taking Sepp Blatter down. This is just something, obviously, as an Atlanta United fan and people listening to this podcast that are getting into it because they want to get into Atlanta United, might not be into soccer on the whole, or might not have paid as much attention to it as you or I have over the last however many years of our lives. But Sepp Blatter being taken down is a huge, huge moment. And obviously, there's still a lot to be dealt with there in terms of who takes over for him. A big thing, too, is Michel Platini getting banned, too, because he was the shoe-in favorite to take over for him, and it's looking like he is just as backwards as Sepp Blatter was. So I think just getting a clean break from the establishment at the top of FIFA will only serve, at least you've got to be hopeful, because it is a very corruptible organization, but you would hope that whoever gets the responsibility of governing FIFA, and quite frankly, I don't know if it's a one-man job. That might need to be something the executive committee looks at, to where you're not just leaving this on one person's shoulders. But you've got to look with optimism at the future that, hey, maybe we can get some people in here that care more about the game than lining their pockets.
I will say that one of the greatest moments for me was a man named Andrew Jennings. Do you know who Andrew Jennings is?
The name escapes me, but I'm sure I will.
He is a reporter that went. He went to a congressional committee regarding FIFA. I guess it was what started all of the U.S. investigation to FIFA.
Okay.
He, I have an article that basically is just titled "A Man Who Tells It Like It Is," because he had some of the greatest quotes I've ever heard in a congressional committee regarding FIFA, basically comparing them to the mob. I'm going to read you one of the quotes, if I can find it real quick.
Well, while you're looking, I did want to say that, you know, since that was an off the field thing, I do have something that was really awesome on the field that we'll get to, and I obviously, Eric, I'll let you do that too. But yeah, it's just off the field. I think the overhaul, or at least the impending overhaul of FIFA, is definitely something that 10 years down the road we could look back on and either say one of two things: A, well, that didn't change much, or B, wow, we finally have got this going in the right direction.
All right, I found it. "I'm very proud of being the only reporter in the world banned by Mr. Blatter because of my disclosure of his corruption over the last 13 years. Before stumbling on FIFA lowlifes, I had experience of organized crime, filming nose-to-nose with the Mafia in Palmero. Blatter's FIFA ticks all the boxes, defining an organized crime syndicate." He went on to say, someone asked if FIFA was salvageable. Salvageable? No, not at all. The corruption is so deeply embedded that if you cut the head off the snake, the rest will still be wiggling about. And he had quotes like that all throughout the committee, the entire hearing. And it was about 3 hours long, and I watched the entire thing because I could not get enough of Andrew Jennings. And he, to this day, is my hero, and I can't imagine anyone else will overtake his spot at the top, at that top spot anytime soon, because it was one of the most amazing pieces of video I've ever seen.
Well, I think Loretta Lynch gets an honorable mention.
Definitely, definitely Loretta Lynch too.
The best attorney in the world, in my opinion. On the field, I think this is a no-brainer. Best moment of 2015. Carly Lloyd's hat trick.
Yeah.
I mean, she scored a hat trick inside of 25 minutes in the World Cup, in a final. That will never happen on the men's side, women's side, whatever. That's never going to happen again. She scored 3 goals in the first half of a World Cup final. Unbelievable. And the U.S. women's national team was a great story throughout that tournament. But just her performance in that final was otherworldly.
I mean, it was something we've never seen before. And I highly doubt we'll ever see it again. And
well, playing a World Cup final, even if you're the U.S. women's national team, a dominant side, it doesn't matter. You go back to all of the World Cup finals, men's and women's, the play is usually just so timid. You know, you don't want to make that mistake.
Right.
Of blowing a World Cup. I mean, it's the biggest game you'll ever play in, unless you have the fortune to get back to another World Cup final, which not a whole lot of people do. So usually the play is very cautious, very timid. But for the U.S. to come out and just put the foot on the throat right away was awesome to see.
I remember watching it and just thinking, I looked away at one point, and I don't remember seeing it live, but she kicked the ball, the one that she scored from midfield.
Oh,
she
yeah.
kicked the ball, and I kind of turned away thinking nothing of it. And I turned back, and it's going into the goal, and I just absolutely crazy. I can't. Was that her third one? I think that was right.
I can't even remember. It was all a blur. It just happened so fast.
I remember we all went nuts. We're all sitting in that living room, just going absolutely crazy because we could not believe what we were watching in a World Cup final.
I mean, hey, I'm all for Carly Lloyd as the first DP at Atlanta United. I'm just saying, put her out there. I think she could roll with these guys, no problem whatsoever, the way she plays. So. I was very happy to see the United States obviously bring the cup back where it belongs. But, yeah, just that whole tournament and the respect that women's soccer got, you know, I mean, just the resurgence of the English team, the Spanish team banding together saying, we're not going to play anymore unless you fire this coach that had been in charge for decades. And, you know, they finally get rid of him because the players stood up for themselves. So, I think there was just a lot of good stuff to happen in the women's game in 2015. Very refreshing to see that. And just kind of, you know, looking all the way around, I guess, for Atlanta United, I think the best thing to happen for Atlanta United in 2015 was 2015. The whole year, just everything stacked up one on top of the other, just built more and more excitement for you. And call me biased, I don't think anything about Atlanta United was the worst. The only worst thing about Atlanta United in 2015 was the – pardon my French, jackass that was standing behind me at the logo unveil screaming black hearts at the top of his lungs for like 15 minutes. And it's like, dude, You know, we're Atlanta United FC, bro. You got to move on.
I don't know if that one beats mine. Mine was a guy in the very back. After everyone was told we had 5 minutes left before the presentation began, he yells out as loud as he could, "You got 5 minutes to change it."
Possible it was the same guy.
Very likely it could have been the same guy.
Because, I mean, the guy that I'm talking about was also standing towards the back, like right near that doorway.
Yep, exactly. Yep, that it might be the same guy. Who knows?
That's terrible. Well, Guy, if you're listening, we hate you.
And you are no fun.
Never come to Atlanta United again. I'm just kidding. You know, we love passionate fans, and hopefully your passion turns into positive passion for Atlanta United as we get moving forward.
Don't be that guy, Guy.
Yeah, don't be that guy, sir. so, obviously, that's 2015 in a nutshell for Atlanta United. We very much look forward to 2016 and what's to come going forward here. I think 2016 has already gotten started on a pretty crazy note in the world of soccer, just with a couple of stories, including, you know, Zinedine Zidane is now the manager at Real Madrid. I think that was something we all saw that inevitably was going to happen. But I just figured that maybe he'd manage Atlanta United for a couple of years first and then go over there.
We could only hope, right? We could only dream. I have very low expectations of that happening, but my dreams of us getting a top name manager are still floating amongst the dreamland, the fantasy world.
I mean, MLS is going to get to this point because the United States is such an attractive place to live. And you know, I think a lot of these managers, these sort of cosmopolitan managers of the era, your Mourinho's, your Guardiola's, you know, they would love to come and do their job over here where there's probably a little less pressure. And in the United States, like I said, it's an attractive place to live. So I think more and more we'll start to get that. But who's going to be that first, you know, kind of manager from Europe that's got a high profile that moves over to the MLS or moves over to MLS?
See, I think this is more speculation for, you know, later on in the year, I guess. But I think eventually it'll be a team like NYCFC, who has the backing of City Football Group, you know, already has an established kind of pipeline. But that's a conversation for a different day.
Yeah, you know, obviously we can speculate more and more as time goes on. But to be honest with you, Eric, that's all I got this week. You know, I think obviously as time goes on, I think with 2016, our goal is going to be more consistency. Obviously, the holiday season notwithstanding, I think, you know, our goal is just to kind of be around whenever news breaks for Atlanta United. And you know, I don't know how much that'll happen in the beginning of the year, but I think as the year goes on, you know, more and more and more, like I said earlier, these dominoes are going to start to fall and there's going to be just stuff coming out every week, maybe even every day.
I forget who told Doug Robertson told me. In the interview, if you haven't listened to the interview with Doug Robertson, go listen to it because there's a lot of information that's just awesome that you need to know as an Atlanta United fan. He mentioned that Darren Eales had to make something like four hires a week or something like that from now until like maybe 2017, and which that number itself is just kind of amazing because I don't know how you do that, but or maybe it was a month. I don't know. It was a ridiculous number. We're definitely going to get news. We're definitely going to get stuff to talk about. The other thing I think we're going to do is line up a lot more, well, not a lot more. I mean, I think we've done a pretty good job, but guests that associate with Atlanta United. One of the ideas I had off the top of my head was getting some kind of a representative from the supporters clubs, have a little round table and see if we can't get a round table discussion about Atlanta United and the things we'd like to see from them, the things you, the listener, would like to see from your supporters groups. And, see if we can't just be one of the best fan bases in MLS.
I very much look forward to that turning into that scene from outside of that restaurant, I guess a few months ago, where the fan groups were just throwing chairs at each other.
Yeah.
So hopefully that happens because I look forward to being up close and personal for that. I'm just kidding.
From what I hear, there's not much animosity between the three supporters groups. So
obviously, we want all of our supporters.
Definitely good thing.
Do not hooliganize, guys. That's all we ask. That's all we ask. Oh, I guess really quickly before we head out of here, one thing I did want to mention very briefly, you know, you and I at the Boxing Day event at the Brewhouse, we did get a chance to chat with Darren Eales a little bit. He did tell us that, in the next couple of months, they're going to be able to help us out with some stuff. We didn't really get too specific on that, but it was very nice of Darren to assure us on that end. And also, you know, I think a lot of people worry about a soccer team that is owned by the guy that owns the NFL team in the same town, of how that will work in terms of the staffs and everything like that. Again, like I mentioned at the top of the show, most of our stuff with Darren was off the record, but I think one thing that I can say from that is that fears of Atlanta United not getting their fair shake and their own representation and their own staff. You know, I think, you know, obviously there's going to be some upper level positions that maybe a guy that works for the Falcons will also work with Atlanta United. But for the most part, it's looking like these are going to be two separate staffs, and that Arthur Blank, Darren Eales, everybody is treating this like its own separate entity, which is very refreshing and, quite frankly, very reassuring.
I get the impression that Arthur Blank is not a soccer guy. he's very much letting Darren Eales take the reins from what most of us can tell, which is good because you want a soccer knowledgeable guy running the show and not someone like in New England, where the Patriots are basically, you know, the mama bear for the New England Revolution. You don't want that kind of situation happening in Atlanta. And by no means do we have any impressions of that was even close to happening. Again, one of the great things about living in Atlanta and having an owner like Arthur Blank who can delegate to whoever he needs to delegate to. One of the other things for me, if you have not gotten on the Atlanta United bandwagon and haven't partaken in any of these events, Darren Eales, Carlos, I think that's it. They were both there at the Brewhouse Cafe. They show up and they want to talk with you. You, the common folk. They want to hear what you have to say. They want to hear your positivity. They want to hear your thoughts, your concerns. They want to talk to you guys. They're very much – it was not very hard to go up to Carlos and Darren and be like, hey, what's going on? And not just us, but just anyone in the restaurant, anyone hanging out. That's what they were doing. They were hanging out, watching the games, talking to people, and passing out scarves.
Exactly. So we very much look, it's 2016. We are getting closer and closer. Just think about it. We are 1 year away. Think a year from now, we can say, hey, Atlanta United starts this year. Although it's already started. The process, the wheels have been moving for a long time. But the fact that we are 1 year away from being able to say, hey, Atlanta United FC plays this year. That is a very, very awesome feeling. And we look forward to what 2016 has to offer. And like I said, I can't emphasize this enough. Buckle your seatbelts, because once this thing starts to roll here, it is going to go downhill and go very, very quickly. So for Eric Quintana, I am Sam Franco. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Mounds of the South podcast. You can find us on Twitter at MOTS Podcast. You can follow Dirty South Soccer, our home, at Dirty South Sock. That's SOC. You can follow Eric at Eric Quintana 47. I am at Sam J. Franco. You can give Jason a follow, too, although he didn't join us today. Jason, get better. He said he was sick, so feel better. Get well soon, Jason. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason is a Smith. Go to www.dirtysouthsoccer.com for all things Atlanta United. Atlanta United's SB Nation home. And we will be back next time on the Mounds of the South podcast. Take it easy, everybody.
See ya.